CBS, Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The bear market fled. The bull market arrives. Or at least that is an announcement I read with a smile on Barron's Magazine. And the former Washington editor of Barron's Magazine is here to comment on what this can mean. On the day of the news being dominated by the former president's indictment, the bull market arrives. No connection to my knowledge. So we'll treat this as a phenomenon. Jim, a very good evening to you. What does it mean the bear market ends and the bull market begins? Is that a good thing or is this dangerous? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, first of all, I have a different perspective because I keep time differently than Wall Street. Wall Street is basing this current bull market on the last 52 weeks. And the stock market has been wonderful through 2023. And in the past weeks, we've had repeated gains. So as the market moves up, that's considered a bull market. But I lost a heck of a lot of money in 2022. On January 1st, 2022, the S&P 500 was at 47.96.56. It's at 42.98.86 now. So in my book, we're still way behind the curve. The other thing is, and you've talked about this, it's very few stocks that are responsible for the gains in the indexes. And history has shown that when trading becomes focused in a narrow set of stocks, we usually have a big crash that follows. So for example, when we had the flash crash in 2010, trading was concentrated for many months in just 1,500 stocks. When we had the big crash in 1969 and 1970, trading was concentrated in 50 to 100 stocks, you know, the old Nifty 50. So what this means is that all the liquidity in the market is focused on a narrow range of products. And the rest of the market is being slowly starved for liquidity. And it usually sets the stage for a big correction. Now, when might the correction occur? This is the tricky part because there's no volatility in the market. Generally, when you have a crash coming, you'll see the market swing between 1 and 3% on a daily basis. Sometimes you'll see big swings intraday or day to day. And the market is fairly calm right now. So I'm a scaredy cat, but I have to admit that I've been wrong about going away in May because people who stayed in and added to their positions are making a nice change right now.
We'll come back to the bear and bull. Let's spend a moment speculating, because that's what Wall Street does, on that jobs number of last Friday, which was nearly completely, totally a surprise to Wall Street, where the smart people are. Over 300,000 jobs gained in the previous month. And the Federal Reserve meeting next week, the 13th and 14th, where we're told they intend to vote pause. Not a cut, not a hike, but pause. Do these things go together, Jim? A pause following a burst of jobs? I had come to the understanding that Mr. Powell was watching jobs as a sign of his hikes being significant. That jobs number last Friday says, what hikes?
Well, here's the analogy I use. We're in an economic fog. I mean, this is territory that the Fed hasn't been in before. They're flying on instruments. They're raising interest rates. They're not sure exactly what the impact will be on the economy and how fast that impact will occur. And in the middle of this flight, the economists in general make an estimate that the jobs for May would increase by 190,000. And then we get this huge number. What was it? 360,000. So this is what frightens a bearish person like me. You wonder if the Federal Reserve is using the same models as the rest of the economists. And if they are, it's a sign that they don't have a clue as to what the impact of their rate increases have been on the economy. It would seem to indicate 10 increases have not affected inflation at all, have not threatened a recession and job layoffs at all, and that they will have to be more aggressive for the rest of the year. And that's scary because there could be overkill and real destruction of the economy.
All right, retail's time, retail story time, Jim. You've been wandering around. What have you observed?
Well, you know, the consumers, I'm in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, which has a very robust economy, low unemployment. I think we're under 3% here. I went to a Longhorn Steakhouse the other night. I had never been to one in my life. And it was pretty good, by the way. But the place was filled with blue-collar guys and their wives and their children. I mean, it was packed. So that tells me that your working Joe is secure. He's getting a good paycheck, and he's secure in the belief that his job's going to be there 6 months from now. You know, he's participating in the post-COVID partying. I went to a department store, and there was a single mother of three kids, and she was telling the cashier that she was treating herself for the first time in 8 years. So she had an order between $50 and $100 worth of clothing for herself. Not a big deal, but she paid with a brand new credit card. So this tells me that she is also convinced that her income will be steady, that her job will remain, and she'll be able to pay off that credit card debt. So, you know, I just see signs of this kind of economic optimism every place I go.
Where's the recession, Jim? There's said to be a shallow recession in Germany, but not here.
No, I mean, Europe, England. I mean, England is desperate for a trade agreement with the U.S. because the U.S., here's the thing. The consumer here in this country drives the economy. That's an old saw. The consumer, as I've just described, is very healthy and optimistic. So our economy is strong, but other parts of the world, China's recovery is much slower than people anticipated. Europe is in a doldrums. In the United States, California and Ohio are the only states that are reporting any significant job layoffs right now. I don't know why. I don't know what the peculiarities are of those two states. But so far, the Fed's aggressive hikes in interest rate haven't curved this steaming locomotive of an economy.
Back to the market. The bull case is that there's a whole lot of money on the sidelines, yours included. That's a good bull case because that's fuel for the fire. Do you accept it?
I do. I mean, the old saw, and this is true, markets like to climb a wall of worry.
Right.
Because that injects caution into your decisions. You know, I see that volatility is low. If you look at the VIX, which measures volatility, it's almost neutral. So this says it's not a bubble.
Right.
You know, it's people making rational decisions.
The bear is fled. The bull arrives. Jim McTague, Washington editor for Barron's for a long time, now a novelist. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.